death. Where, Doc?
My room, I fear.
Doc and Suki headed outside.
Get a lamp going. We've got to have some light.
There were just enough remnants of the day left for them to see the two figures lying on each of the twin beds in Doc's room. It was even possible to make out that one of them was male and the other female. But there wasn't nearly enough illumination to see who they might be. Ryan's heart clenched in his chest at the thought that the woman might be his own beloved Christy Roth. J.B. Dix, the armorer of the group, had the same fear that she might be his love, Mildred Wyeth. Mildred was a doctor who had been cryonically frozen way back in December of the year 2000 and brought to life again nearly a century later into the whirling madness of the post-Holocaust world that men called Deathlands. In fact, the house more or less belonged to Jack Lauren, the teenage friend of J.B. and Ryan. He had ridden with the others for some time, then split from them to marry and start a family on a spread in New Mexico. Tragedy had destroyed his happiness, and now he had been living at this ranch with Ryan's 11-year-old son Dean and Mildred, Christy, and Doc. J.B. turned and picked his way past Trader, back into the kitchen. Ryan drew nearer the beds, stooping low, almost nauseous at the terrible stench. Doc's instant summary looked like it had been accurate enough. The man on the bed was still alive, though his breathing would hardly have fluttered a moth's wing. The woman was obviously dead.
Well, at least it's not Christy or Mildred.
J.B. returned with a lantern.
Just about enough light for me to see. The man's not Jack or Dean. Too big for the boy. And Jack's white hair would blaze out in a privy at midnight. If it's not them, then who is it?
J.B. clamped the gleaming glass chimney over it, adjusting the brass wheel to bring a steady light. He pushed his fedora back from his high forehead, and his spectacles glittered.
Hold it high.
Oh, I never did too good with sickies. Knife or a bullet wound, and I don't flinch. You two know that well enough from all the long years you rode with me in the war wags.
Sure, no problem. You go check on Doc and the woman. See what they can tell us.
Can't blame the old man. I guess we've smelled better smells.
The woman's been gone for around a day, 2 days at the outside. Eyes are milky, starting to dissolve. Her belly's swelled with gas. Her wrists are bone thin, gone stiff all the way through.
Look at those sores around her lips and the state of her hair. Ties in with the way our rad counters went off the scale outside.
The scream and the discovery inside the house had temporarily driven that from Ryan's mind. Just as Doc and his friend had gone in, it had been J.B. who had noticed the miniature radiation counters dating from the pre-dark days. He and Ryan wore one on their lapels, and they were normally colored green, meaning that the ambient levels were completely safe. Yellow meant some light radiation, orange was an indication that you were moving up the scale toward danger, and red was precisely that danger. Imminent, all around, showing you were in a serious hotspot. J.B. moved the lamp and looked down at the man. He was showing all the signs of radiation poisoning. His lips were tugged back off his loose teeth, showing bleeding gums. Like the woman, his hair was almost gone, patches of black blood showing across the peeling scalp, and his mouth was crusted with running sores.
He's in a coma.
Ryan pushed the man gently, then harder, but got no response. He touched the pulse point at the angle of the man's throat, counting to himself.
Pulse is slow, very slow. Breathing's right down to the flatline as well.
Look at that, an over and under Derringer.
Yeah, built like the .41 caliber Remington. Probably a European replica. Real rare gun if it was genuine. I recall Jack saying he had one of them somewhere around the place.
J.B. picked up the Derringer from the nightstand.
Not fired. Got both bullets in it.
Why?
J.B. looked at the dying stranger, lying in the tangled, fouled sheets.
My only guess could be that it was left here by his side for him to take the easy trail west. Maybe got too sick to do anything with it.
But who? I can't work out what the fuck's been going on here.
Two strangers, rad sick. Don't know why. Doc knows nothing, but he's been away, hasn't he? Said he'd just gotten back with that woman.
JB raised his eyebrows at Ryan.
Don't ask me. Could be they're just friends. Could be a whole lot more. Rain's beaten down any tracks that there might have been.
Listen, we have a double problem here.
How's that?
First is to get the hell out of here. With the rad counter screaming red, we could get bone fried if we hang around for a couple more hours.
And the second thing?
Is to find what's happened to Mildred, Jack, Christy, and Dean.
At full dark, Ryan and JB brought a couple of oil lamps outside, setting them on the sill of the kitchen window, where they immediately attracted a circling horde of small midges and bright-winged moths. Suki Smith sat on the stoop, her head bowed, Doc's arm around her shoulders. She hadn't spoken, twice retching and bringing up strings of bile. Her hands remained in the pockets of her skirt. Doc was trying to comfort her, but she seemed to be oblivious to his words.
This makes no sense at all to this poor addled old pate.
Nor to me, Doc. You say everything was fine when you left on this sort of hunting trip?
What's a sort of hunting trip, for Christ's sake?
I merely wished to get my head together, as the saying has it. Find out where I was going. The usual classic odyssey of self-exploration.
I don't rightly remember the old fuck talking like he'd swallowed an encyclopedia. Can't he just speak short and simple?
I shall endeavor to gear my conversation toward your level, though I fear that the descent might be too great.
Don't smart-mouth me, old man, or you'll find yourself walking with your asshole dragging in the dirt.
Leave it. Doc, you're triple sure that nothing was wrong, not a clue of a problem, and no sign of these strangers?
No sign at all. I'm certain everything was hunky-dory. Their only small concern was for me and for my little expedition as caring friends.
And you saw nobody leaving the spread?
Nobody. I think there was a fire somewhere around here a brace of days ago, but I'm not certain.
We should check the barns. Could be clues there, or a note.
No. The signs are that they left in good order. Maybe because of the rad sickness. But I know Christy would have left me a note.
Where?
The table inside, but there isn't one there. By the front door or the back door. Checked them both and there's nothing. Doc and Suki would have spotted him easily. There was enough light for it back then.
Trader snatched up an oil lamp and walked into the house. The only person who showed any particular interest in this was Suki Smith.
The poor wretch in the bedroom could not tell us anything of what happened.
That stoop bastard only got one thing to say, and that's goodbye, ain't it?
Trader returned and placed the lamp back on the kitchen windowsill, moving to stand in front of Doc and Suki.
Which one of you came around to the rear of the house?
Ryan sensed the implicit threat and started to stand, his hand going to the butt of his Sig Sauer.
I did, and there was no note.
Trader slapped Suki across the face, knocking her to her knees.
You're a fucking lying bitch!
Doc Tanner was up, across the porch and swinging a good solid haymaker at Trader's jaw before anyone could try to stop him. Trader blocked the fist.
Just hold off!
You black-hearted dog!
What was that for, Trader?
Neither Ryan nor JB had moved. They'd ridden enough miles with Trader to know that he wasn't a man to do something like that without having a good reason. Or at least, thinking that he had a good reason. Doc stood in front of Trader, his fists clenched, eyes wide with anger.
You dare to strike down a defenseless woman?
Suki was on her hands and knees, her head down, a line of blood, black in the lamplight, trickling from either her nose or her mouth.
I'm all right, Doc.
Doc looked around and saw his ebony sword stick lying by the bench seat.
I'll cut your damn throat open.
Trader held the Armalite in his left hand, offering no threat with it.
Back off, Doc.
Back off? How dare you?
Just let me ask the woman a question. One question. If she gives me the truth straight off, then we'll all know just what's been going on around here. And if she lies again, then I'll keep beating her until she decides to show some sense.
And you consider that an adequate explanation, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Ryan, you go to the ends of the earth to bring back this person and stand by as he insults my friend?
Let him ask the question, Doc. Then we'll all know what's happening.
Give me a hand up.